Hi, welcome back to the Agent Insider. I'm your host, Andy Jewell. Thanks for joining me today. We have a returning guest, Gerald, here.
Yes.
Gerald, thanks for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is like number three, I think.
I know, even with all that feedback we got, I was like, no, I'm bringing Gerald back.
Yeah, redeem him. So, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. I appreciate you taking the time. I want to kind of like jump into something today that we want to talk about because it's on the minds of a lot of people. It's been on my mind. A lot of people I'm talking to because we're in the insurance industry. Are thinking about it and talking about it, which is the LA fires, what's going on down in California. And, you know, it's terrible. And, you know, my heart goes out to those who are impacted. Property has been damaged astronomically. More than that, people have lost their lives. And so it's really sad. And, you know, I'm praying for the people there because this is huge impacts. Like, this is life-changing moments. And so I want to make sure we acknowledge that and that we don't just like dive into the numbers of insurance because this is people's lives. These are people's homes. And it is, like I said, unfortunately, it's actual lives that are lost, which is going to impact families forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Devastating. Like you said, our condolences, our prayers, our hearts go out to, and you can say what about the state of like where California is. But it's a beautiful place, like especially that beach. Like, it's a beautiful.
Yeah. There's a reason why there's so many people that live in California.
Yeah.
You know,
and so many people now devastated.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So it's a huge impact. So like I said, our condolences to those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost their homes. So I know it seems empty to when you're going through something to say, yeah, it's easy for you to say, but you know, truly I am praying for those who are impacted. So I want to make sure that we acknowledge that before I go on and talk about money and about insurance and about impacts of major things. I want to make sure we get that kind of dealt with up front, first and foremost. But I was on a call actually today, and they were addressing this because this is something I had a meeting with a group of agents earlier this week, and this comes up, right? Like, how is this impacting insurance companies? My wife was even when she was like, hey, I was reading an article about how insurance companies are going to fail because of the payouts and whatnot. And so I think it's something that weighs on people. Like, we go like, man, I'm and this is maybe the part of me being an insurance agent. Like, you see something like this happening, you're like, I'm so sad and I'm sorry for those who are impacted. And then we go right into like, how does this impact the insurance industry? How does the insurance industry respond to something like this?
Yeah.
So I think that that's something interesting to talk about.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think especially in the most recent couple of months, you think about how many disasters, like major disasters, have happened over our states, from Florida to this to then the East Coast. Just a couple of weeks ago was freezing, apparently.
Yeah.
And so think about like how many claims and disasters are being paid out. And so, like you mentioned, you know, there's the loss aspect of everything that's going on for people that are in it. And then everyone else is like looking at all these disasters going, how are insurance companies going to deal with this? How are they going to pay for it? Are they going to go under? Are they not going to go under? And then what is it going to do for my insurance cost?
Well, actually, I think those are great questions to think about, right?
Because
it does have impacts. So right now, like, the estimates are like all over the board and they're huge, huge variables. So the amount of financial impact or the amount of payouts for claims, they're estimating it between $50 billion
and
$200 billion. So like
there's a $200 billion.
Yeah, $200 billion is like the top end of the estimate that I've seen, which is insanity, right? Like, that's so much money. It's hard to fathom how much money that is. But just for, I did a little check on like the biggest impacts adjusted for inflation. This was through 2023 and inflation numbers, because wouldn't work for 2024, but like the top five insurance events of property damage. Coming, well, we'll start lower. Number five is Hurricane Maria in 2017. The estimated loss was $40 billion.
Wow.
So it's a fair amount of money.
That's number five.
That's
on
number
the list?
Five. Number four was Hurricane Harvey in 2017 as well, which was $43 billion. So that was a bad year for the insurance industry. Yeah. Number three would be the 9/11.
Wow.
So the estimated loss from 9/11 was $43 billion as well. It must have been just slightly higher than Hurricane Harvey. And it's interesting, number that 9/11 did have a shift and change in insurance because terrorism was really not a thing as far as insurance coverage. And so some people complain now when we do a business policy, they're like, why am I paying this TRIA? It's the Terrorism Insurance Act. And it's like, well, because of 9/11, now this is something that's being put on all of the policies if something like that repeats so that there's coverage for it. But it, so it did have an impact. Number two, not stateside, but still globally an impact, was the earthquake and tsunami in Japan in 2011. That was $45
billion. Wait, so these are in the world?
Yeah.
And the majority of them have happened in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, the majority.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And the number one, if you want to take a guess what you think the number one most costly from an insurance perspective payout property damage.
My initial thought goes to Katrina would be the top.
Yep. It is Katrina, $96 billion.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was
and that
massive.
Was devastating.
Yeah, 2005. That was right when I started in insurance. $96 billion.
And what was number two? 53?
Number two was 45.
45.
Yeah.
Doubled.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two honorable mentions, though, that were just outside the top five. So they'd be like six and seven, which I think I want to talk a little bit about today, would have been Hurricane Andrew in 1992, which was $36 billion. And then 1994, the Northridge earthquake in California, which was also about $36 billion adjusted for. Those are adjusted for inflation numbers.
Right.
But I think that those things are, it's interesting because I think first off, when people see something huge, like what's happening in California now, if it hits that $200 billion, it's going to far surpass Katrina. Right. But people sometimes go like, oh my gosh, like the insurance world is going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting just to put it in perspective, right? Like we have had major things happen with Katrina just for inflation. And then even Harvey and Maria, which were both, Maria hit Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, but Harvey and Maria both being in the same year at over $40 billion apiece, that puts you like $90
billion. Mm-hmm.
And so it isn't new to insurance companies to have massive claim events.
Mm. Yeah, that is interesting.
So...
Yeah, it feels when it happens though, it feels like shocking or feels unnerving.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, what is going to happen now?
Yeah.
And when you see, I think fire, especially because it goes on for like a hurricane, mm-hmm. it hits, you know, it comes in last night and then tomorrow we see the devastation.
Yeah.
The fire, it's burning for days and days and days. And there is something too, just about seeing, you know, the skyline lit up with a wildfire going through LA area. You're like, oh my gosh, the Hollywood sign's like on fire. Literally.
Yeah. It's, they are surreal. Like you said, it's a longer lasting feels mm-hmm. like. And so the impact, you're just watching it. And
right.
As you're watching it, you're just seeing the property loss continue.
Yeah. You just go, where does that end? Right. Like it just keeps going and, yeah, it's scary. It can be really scary. So I think just to start it out, I think I wanted to just kind of frame it a little bit of just like, it's happened before. It will happen again. Yeah. And the insurance industry they're always changing and adjusting. And I think that's something to be aware of, that whenever you have defining claims moments like this, which is why I want to talk about Northridge and Harvey a little bit, because when you have defining moments in insurance history or in claims history, it does change the way that business happens.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hurricane Harvey in 92, when it hit, they changed the way insurance companies modeled. They were like, wait a minute, we need to change our distribution, because you would have the companies that get affected the most are localized regional companies, that where you have 90% of your exposure, 90% of your policyholders are all in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when the hurricane comes through, you're like, oh my goodness, like 90% of our policyholders are filing claims. And so our pool of reserves just sucks right out. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes difficult to manage your risk on the company side when you have that happen. So it changed the way that companies modeled and started looking at, we need to diversify our risk geographically, so that way you're not going to have one event that can wipe out all of your company resources.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder how that works. Over the last two years, or three even probably, we've seen companies really adjust their underwriting rules or guidelines or their geography of where they're insuring because of fires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already been a big impact. California fires here in Washington, we've had different insurance companies look at different areas in a risk factor. And you do wonder what the impact will be now with California in a really major way.
Yeah. So that was the part that was interesting. So I was talking, we were on a call and they were talking about that with underwriting and whatnot. So like one of the things that, just real quick, like, cause they have been doing a lot of underwriting and re-underwriting and looking at the risk distribution and going, hey, we don't want to insure these homes because of the wildfire risk,
mm-hmm.
Which we are seeing in Washington and Eastern Washington. In California, it's been a bigger issue. And companies have been non-renewing. State Farm, I think, non-renewed like
that's been a big
30,000 homeowners policies, right?
Yeah, that's been a big like news outlet.
Yeah,
like State Farm's getting just beaten up for that. I was talking to someone about that, I was like, they've been planning this for a while though. It's not like they just decided a month ago to cancel everyone.
Right,
like it's been like a 2-year conversation. An ongoing
talking to multiple CEOs that we've had come through our company.
Yeah.
They've been looking at the fire line risk in California, trying to mitigate it. Like the conversations that I've been a part of mm-hmm. for like 5-6 years.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's funny. The news outlets make it sound like
it was definitely convenient timing, right?
Yeah. Hey,
so.
But you think about it 5 to 6 years that you've been involved in, think about like it's probably another year corporate's been having.
Sure, I'm sure it's been at least the last 10 years that the companies have been looking at it going,
like, how do we,
there's an issue. And well, you look like the North Palisade, like the homes mm-hmm. that were there are beautiful homes. Like they had some not so beautiful homes as well, but there's a lot of beautiful homes there that the replacement cost on those things are, you know, $1-3 million. Mm-hmm. I think the average, I think, was like 2.8 or something like that. Is something wow. I heard, but, So I tell people, like, if you have a total loss, if we've had some homes in our customers that have burned to the ground, to rebuild the house, if the coverage on the dwelling amount was around 500,000, the total payout is over $1 million.
Wow.
Because you have personal property, loss of use, building codes. There's like so many different ancillary mm-hmm. coverages that come into play. It's not just the building amount. It's everything. So if you have a homeowner's policy where the replacement cost on the house is, $2.5-3 million, your claim is going to be probably $6 million
for the one house.
For the one house.
Yeah.
And so the concentration of risk from an insurance company standpoint is huge.
Yeah.
And so they have been, a lot of companies have been taking underwriting actions, building up over the last few years. And then some of the companies have been doing, a lot of the companies have done non-renewals recently, which has created some hard times for customers.
Right.
So I just a segue, just real briefly, because you see people on the news and they're like, my insurance company non-renewed me with no notice. Mm-hmm. And now I'm without insurance.
Right.
And it is possible that they are without insurance.
Right.
I'll tell you, insurance companies cannot non-renew somebody with no notice.
Right.
That's illegal. The state requires them to send a minimum of 60 days notice.
Right.
So if I'm going to, if they're, your policy is getting canceled because the company's pulling out of that area, they have to give you minimally 60 days notice that your policy is going to be canceled. Now, if you didn't get another policy in place inside of that 60 days, then you are without insurance. And so it's like, yeah, my insurance got non-renewed and I don't have any insurance. That's terrible.
Right.
But it wasn't like the insurance companies just saw, oh, there's a fire coming, quick, cancel everybody.
Right. In probably the lack of, or the due to the time of age we're at right now, I think a lot of people read that headline of like State Farm canceled or non-renewed, and that's where they like leave it at. And I think they have this idea of like, they just canceled overnight.
Right.
They
right.
decided 10 days ago that you weren't going to renew your policy and now you're hooped. And it makes it difficult. Like we've done some business in California for houses and stuff. And it is difficult depending on where you're at, where then you have to either get the state fire insurance that isn't easy to pay. It's expensive. Yeah. And so it can make it difficult if you don't know how to navigate. I just got non-renewed. And what does that look like? And so, yeah.
Yeah, the California Fair Plan is that state insurance. So you can get coverage through them. They'll issue it. It's almost guaranteed. There's very few criteria where you wouldn't. And their policy isn't amazing.
Right.
And there's a lot of options that you have to opt into because the default base policy is a very basic policy. If you're not careful, you'll end up with ACV, actual cash value. So it depreciates. It doesn't default you to, you know, what you would normally expect from a premier company. Right. So I understand there's going to be a lot of people who are uninsured and underinsured. So there's definitely a lot of loss problems there. So I want to talk about the insurance company side of it, that we talked about, like, hey, there's a lot of other things throughout history that we can see that insurance companies have gotten through. And one of the biggest ways insurance companies deal with it is reinsurance.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does that work? Because like you've been having questions. My wife asked me, like, how's that going to work? What happens? And then always the follow-up, what's that going to do for my insurance or our insurance? And I actually had a client the other day, we were on the phone asking about that. And like, what do you think about the fires over there? And what's that going to do for our insurance here in Washington? And they're quick to say, hopefully it doesn't affect our insurance. Yeah. So how does that work? How does reinsurance?
So it in a direct way, it's not going to impact us in Washington. In an indirect way, it will. So directly, like when an insurance company looks at their rates for Washington for 2025 or 2026, they're not going to go, well, we paid out X number of billion of dollars in California, and so we have to raise the rates in Washington to make up for that. Like that, it doesn't work quite like that. But what does happen is insurance companies have reinsurance, so that it stacks layers. And there's different ways that they can build their reinsurance contracts. So one company might do a reinsurance contract where they're paying, it's called quota share, where the insurance company is going to pay a certain percentage of the premium that they collect to the reinsurance company. And then, so like, say it's a quota share of 30%. So they pay the reinsurance company 30% of all the premiums that they take in, but the reinsurance company is now also going to pay 30% of all claims.
Mm.
So then it kind of diversifies their risk.
Yeah.
They also have, excess loss or non-proportionate, which is the way a lot of companies do it, which they just say, hey, we're going to pay the first $100 million of any single event. And if it goes over that amount, we're going to tap our reinsurance company, or we're going to pay the first $1 million of every claim. And if the claim goes over $1 million, then the reinsurance company has to come in and pay us back anything that went over the million.
Yeah.
And then they have a set rate that they're paying for that insurance, because it kind of works as like an umbrella for the insurance company.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's probably bigger numbers than a million.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're going to take care of the vast majority of smaller claims. Or they'll have like treaty insurance where they're going to have like, hey, at the end of the year, anything over a certain amount of our portfolio, you're going to cover. So there's different ways that they can build their reinsurance programs. And each company is going to have a slightly different way that they approach it. But ultimately, the reinsurance carriers are there so that way when you have a major event like this, and that's just something that they learned from Harvey as well. So then not only did they go, hey, geographically, we have to disperse, but then they also started using reinsurance carriers to limit their total loss on a large loss.
Yeah.
So that way they go, hey, we're going to take care of all the small stuff. When we get into this big numbers, we got to have layers of insurance. And oftentimes it might be more than one reinsurance carrier, might have two or three reinsurance carriers stacked up to get to your total amount that you need to have covered. And so then the reinsurance carriers come in and pay those differences. However, the reinsurance carriers are looking at you nationally and globally. So like something that happens in Japan that can affect one of these big reinsurance carriers will impact their total operating expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then that could actually impact what they're charging for reinsurance in other areas. Cause mm-hmm. they go, hey, we can't get all this money back out of Japan. But we've also lost a ton of money into state solvent. If we're going to operate next year, we have to raise our rates up to X.
Yeah.
And so when you see reinsurance carriers that are covering the states and they're like, hey, we're covering the whole country. If we have a massive loss in one area, it could impact the cost of reinsurance everywhere.
Right. So you're first, I guess you're saying that insurance companies buy insurance.
Right. Sounds like a multi-level marketing. It's yeah. like insurance for insurance companies.
Or they bring in investors or partners to say, hey, we're going to cover the majority of the cost of doing business. And if we first, and then through contracts say, you know, we're going to cover the first X amount, or we're going to cover a percentage. And then you guys are going to help partner into this to keep us solvent, to keep the business going, which is probably new for a lot of people. To hear that there's reinsurance companies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like to make people aware of it because the reinsurance is a huge part of the business.
Yeah.
It's a huge part in making sure that when you have something like, cause you, if you hit 200 billion, I don't think we will, but if let's say it did hit 200 billion in California, the companies like big companies like State Farm, it could cripple them.
Right.
Right. So you need to have that reinsurance carrier in place to where you're sharing the load. It's kind of like, it really is the concept of insurance in general, right? Because mm-hmm. I always tell people, you buy insurance for what you can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
So if my windshield gets broken, like it sucks, but I could afford to replace my windshield.
Mm-hmm.
If my car gets totaled or I, you know, put somebody in the hospital and change, you know, getting sued for $1 million, like, I don't have that to just pay out.
Right.
Right. So I need to have insurance for those things. However, my premium that I pay to the insurance company isn't adequate to cover $1 million loss.
Yeah. You'll never pay that in premium.
Right.
To offset if you were to get sued.
Right. If the insurance company has to pay $1 million out on my behalf,
yeah.
I'm never paying them $1 million in premium.
Yeah.
And so we have to be in a pool with other people who are paying money in who are not having those losses to make enough money for the insurance company to pay out that $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we're already pooling together. And then really what the insurance companies are doing is they're layering that and saying, okay, but we're also going to pool with other insurance companies that are, have a bigger, you know, national and global stretch. So that way when something really bad happens, we don't go broke,
right?
Because you know they go, man, we can pay $100 million, we could pay $1 billion. I can't pay, you know, we were going to have a hard time coming up with $200 billion mm-hmm. if that's the case of the LA fires, right? So that's really what they're doing is they're pooling themselves together so that way everybody stays solvent and stays relevant,
yeah,
to be able to pay the claims,
like you mentioned. That reinsurance company then is looking at the farmer's risk as a whole but then also looking at whatever other big insurance companies are buying off of their reinsurance and going, okay, what is the risk of Farmer, State Farm, Allstate together? So then it affects nationally.
Yep.
So what has happened in California, like you said, indirectly.
Right. It's not going to be a direct impact. It's not going to be because of California wildfires where you're going to see a 4% or 15% increase in your homeowner's premiums. But what you will see is you'll see indirect impacts where you're going to have reinsurance carriers are going to start to change their treaties or change their contracts and say, okay, we're going to charge you X now. You also are going to see like reinsurance carriers. Oftentimes we'll even look at a company's exposure and say, you're too exposed in these areas. So if you want us to reinsure you, you have to diversify your exposure.
Wow.
So reinsurance drives a lot of things that people don't even realize. So if a company goes, hey, we're no longer going to insure homes over $2 million. Well, that might be driven by reinsurance carriers who say you have too much of that and you got to lower your risk because of the total payout when something happens. Or if you have a lot of high concentration of your customer base in a protection class 9, the fire protection class in Washington, a 9 is almost unprotected. And so they might say, hey, you need to reduce that to a 30% of your business. And so then the company has to look at it strategically and say, okay, what areas are we not going to insure in anymore? Are we just going to cut all 9s or are we going to cut 9s that are over a certain amount? So they have to adjust their portfolio to make sure that it fits inside of the appetite of their reinsurance carrier. In the same way, a customer, right, who has a homeowner's policy and the insurance company says, hey, we're not going to insure you unless your roof is updated every 30 years.
Right.
And now the customer has to go, okay, well, I have to adjust something to meet that so I can continue to transfer my risk to the insurance company. I have to adjust something that I'm doing so the insurance company takes that risk. And now because insurance companies also have insurance companies, they're adjusting their portfolios, adjusting their businesses.
That's interesting.
To make sure that it meets with that bigger overall view of reinsurance. So there's like layers inside of that creates complicated. It creates a complicated system in some ways, but it also creates a system that when you have Hurricane Katrina at $93 billion or whatever it was that adjusted for inflation, insurance companies can pay it all out and not go insolvent.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving pieces in there. And not to pull us away from insurance, I guess, but back to the State Farm kind of hate that was getting. So you're saying that they didn't know about the fires and were able to pull out just before this major fire, that it's been ongoing conversations in the background with reinsurance. And so it's not, there shouldn't be deep conspiracy theories on State Farm going like, you know what?
They set the fires.
We have an inside loop on setting a fire. Like they've been having ongoing conversations, like you said, whether within themselves or the reinsurance, they've just been trying to manage risk.
Yeah.
And so,
that's funny. I love a good conspiracy as much as the next guy. Like I sometimes it's fun to go down that rabbit hole and go like, oh yeah, like that's interesting. The State Farm non-ready 30. What did they know?
It was like
the smart city plan that overlays on top of where the fires go. The 2028 LA smart city, like all this stuff that people are talking about. And I mean, I don't know. I will say this: were the fires intentionally started? I don't know.
Right?
Would it surprise me if they were? No. But
you don't think that person was hired by like a big
I don't think so. Like I think there's a lot of conspiracies that happened over the years. And some of them you at the time people thought were crazy. And then later you're like, oh, that was totally a conspiracy and everybody knew it. Right. Yeah. So like there's tons of stuff that's happened like that. The winds that happened in LA are unique, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors that have played into this fire. I, and from the insurance side of things, I don't see it that way. I don't see it as a conspiracy. I see it as a lot of like perfect storm factors that happened, right? There's a lot of things that went wrong that some of the things could have been planned on and were mismanaged and misplanned.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things you couldn't plan on.
Yeah.
And, but from the insurance risk standpoint, I guess what I would say, and I saw this, a reel that somebody had played, the other day, and they said insurance companies, are not the problem. The insurance companies are the canary in the coal mine.
Hmm.
And they said when the insurance companies started this non-renewal process, and didn't happen last month or the month before, really the big push started in 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
But the conversations were, that I know of, and I'm not a CEO level person in a big insurance firm, right? But the conversations that I know of on my level had started 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so when they look at it and go, you have a real fire problem in a lot of times. So like in Washington, there's areas in Eastern Washington where mm-hmm. companies don't want to insure them. And they're like, but we're only a mile from a 24-hour manned fire station. We're like, yeah, but the problem is not like, oh, I burnt my candle, tipped over, my house caught on fire, and can the fire department get there in time? The problem is when a wildfire starts and the conditions are right for a wildfire and the winds are blowing, nobody can stop it.
Right.
Like the sheer magnitude and force of something of nature, when it gets going like that, like you just have to get out of the way. You're mm-hmm. trying to mitigate it. You're trying to reduce, you're trying to, you know, contain, like you think about it, this has been on the news and it's been all over for a week or so. And it's 22. No, I heard this morning they updated. It's 31% contained.
Yeah.
For the Palisade fires. Like that's like there's just a lot that happens there. So I guess I would say like, I don't think the insurance companies knew specifically when or what would happen. But I do think I like what the one guy said is the insurance companies are the canary in the coal mine. I think the insurance companies, like their job is risk management.
Right.
Like that's what they do. We have teams of actuaries that are all looking at statistics of like, how likely is this to happen? How likely are you to get in a car accident based on what factors? So when the insurance companies look and go, I don't think I want to offer insurance anymore in this area because we couldn't charge you enough premium to offset the risk of your house burning down because mm-hmm. of wildfire, not because we're worried that you're going to leave a candle burning, but we're worried about wildfire because of the area, right? Like what kind of area you live in and what can they do to prevent and stop a wildfire? I think then you have to look at it and go, what then, me personally, I would say, what then has the state been doing wrong that put us in this position?
Yeah.
Like how have we,
but that's where the conspiracy theories start because then it's like, well, the state wants,
right. The
you
smart,
know,
city.
Smart city. Yeah,
so the state so did it on
why
purpose.
Why would we manage?
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, so I grew up driving, I didn't grow up driving. Growing up as a family, we would go to California often, usually a road trip. And I don't ever remember any fires. And in 2021, my family, now that I'm grown and have a family, we drove down and between San Francisco and Los Angeles, we drove through like a smoke covered air.
Yeah.
And it was so surreal thinking like, I've never experienced this ever. And I've done, I don't know, 15, 20 trips before then to California. And at this point it was already kind of common that California catches on fire in 2021.
Right.
But it just seems so surreal that you do wonder, like, this isn't an overnight mismanagement.
No.
And a conspiracy. I personally agree. Like, I think it's been an ongoing mismanagement for a long time.
Right.
And like you mentioned, insurance companies are in that, business of managing risks. And so they've been looking at this and noticing, hey, this is just bad.
Right. The insurance companies are like, this is going to blow up. This is a powder keg.
Yeah.
And we know that something's going to happen. And so they've been trying to limit their exposures. They've been trying to get out of areas that they feel are lost cause. Mm-hmm. And so in general, the insurance companies are the canary. Now, I do want to just like touch on, because I know I'm sure we're going to get somebody that's going to comment like, well, that's climate change and that's what's.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to debate whether it is climate change or not climate change, because it's the same thing as when here in Whatcom County, we had a big flood in 2021. It caused massive amounts of damage. People lost their homes. One person lost his life. And people were like, oh, it's climate change. Or the Governor Inslee came up and said, it's climate change. There's nothing we can do about it. And then other people said, no, it's because we're not dredging the river. And ultimately, I said, it doesn't matter which side of that fence you're on. If you think it's climate change or you think it's because you didn't dredge the river, the reality is it happened, and that you using reusable grocery bags, although they might be a nice feeling, are not going to change the global climate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to go dredge the river. So you're not going to change either one of those things. Mm-hmm. So like, let's focus on what you can change. If it is climate change that's causing fires in California, then I would say the state of California, the Department of Natural Resources federally, they need to look at how do you manage your forests differently in the face of climate change. Right. You can't manage the forest the same way if climate change is impacting forest fires and causing devastation like this. And if you say, well, it's not climate change, well, then the Department of Natural Resources and the state need to look at how you manage your,
like, either way, right?
Either way, you have to look and say, we're here, regardless of how we got here, we have to change what we're doing. Because if we just keep doing the same thing and tell people to stop using grocery bags and drive electric cars, it's not going to change this problem anytime soon.
You're right.
And global warming or climate change is a global problem that you can't solve in one area.
Right.
So I understand that people will say, well, everyone has to do their part. And I'm not saying we're not. Like, I think we should be a good steward of the world that we live in. And I think we need to be aware of how we live and how we impact our environment. But I'm just saying that just preaching that doesn't change it.
Right.
You have to look at it and say, you have to change the way you manage stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But that wasn't something that happened last month or last year.
Yeah.
That's something that's been building for the last, at least, like I said, at least 5 years, or 5 years. So it's definitely the underlying issues need to be addressed, or it's going to continue to get worse.
Right. Yeah, that's such a good just point. And reality is fires and kindling are a real thing. So whether you want to take care of it in a green way or not, it needs managed.
Right.
to avoid devastating fires that impact millions of people.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting. I do think that this is going to be a defining insurance moment.
Yeah.
It's going to change. Reinsurance carriers have been around for a long time, and I think that they will continue to be around. Insurance companies have weathered big storms. They will weather this. They will get through it, and will continue to offer insurance. It will have an impact, significant impact in California, just like the Northridge earthquake changed earthquake insurance in general in California. Changed the way earthquake insurance was offered, changed the coverages, changed deductibles. It changed companies. There was a consolidation of companies, and some companies completely pulled out of the state. Some companies did go insolvent, some of the very small companies. So you'll see those sort of things are going to happen through this fire as well. You're going to see that companies are going to reduce coverage options. Companies will reduce their footprint in California or in wildfire areas, because they're going to go, we were already on that path and we're going to keep going down that path. The reinsurance carriers are going to adjust prices.
Yeah.
And I think you'll also see building code changes through both the Hurricane Harvey and the Northridge earthquake. You saw building codes change to say, hey, if we could have done something different in how we built these buildings, it would have reduced loss of property and loss of life.
Right.
So I think you're going to see building code changes come out of this as well, where they go, hey, if you're in these areas, here's some new things that you have to do, right? Like maybe it is non-combustible roofing, maybe it's non-combustible siding, and you know, combined with hardscape, so you can't have you know, it reduces the brush and
right.
And fuel for fires. So there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to see change to address the massive impact that this is going to have. But I think ultimately I would say like it's going to be okay. Like we're going to get through it. I think that's one of the great things of I'll say the American spirit is like when bad things happen, we figure out how to pull together, how to get through it, and then how to change and adapt for the next. And every time, because if we hadn't made those changes with reinsurance and with diversification and changing how business models were working in insurance companies in 1992, we would not, the insurance companies would not have been prepared for Hurricane Katrina. And they wouldn't be prepared to be able to deal with what's going on in California right now. But as it sits, most of the insurance companies go, we're not changing our strategy moving forward. We have good underwriting that has, we were on the right path. We're going to continue down that path. So in areas where we were reducing our appetite, we're going to continue to reduce that appetite and leave that. We're not reducing it tighter, but maybe we're going to hold to it. And, it is going to, not stop us from wanting to grow in areas and make sure that we have coverage for people in other areas where we're not as exposed to that. So that diversification will still be there. So, anyways, did that bring up, did that bring up any questions I missed, you think, on,
no, I thought that
reinsurance?
I think that's good. I think like you mentioned, I think the question is like, man, how are insurance going to deal with this? And, I know for me, and I've been doing this for a while, but with the natural disasters, it's only been recent that I've heard about reinsurance. Like, wait a minute. So like, how do these national companies deal with such devastating, impactful losses? And so it's interesting to realize like, wait a minute, there's layers of protection on everybody and everything. And so,
right.
And then the cause of effect on that, like we talked about that. There's then requirements put on the insurance companies to say, hey, we noticed this inside of your risk that we don't like. And so to offer you reinsurance, you have to adjust and change. And so there's a lot of moving pieces that people don't realize. And then each state is regulated by an insurance commissioner and all that hot mess that happens inside of that.
And so, in each state, the regulation is a little bit different as far as what they'll allow and what they won't allow. Which that has been part of the problem from my perspective. I think that's been part of the problem in California. Why companies have been reducing footprints and pulling out is because of the way the insurance commissioner office in California limits how insurance companies can rate and the risks that they can limit. It becomes to the point where the insurance companies, we can't operate in this condition.
Right.
And so we have to make changes. So yeah, regulatory environment has a huge impact. Reinsurance has a huge impact. State management has a huge impact on wildfire and natural catastrophe risks. All of those things make a big difference. And it's not one thing.
Right.
And I think that's, people want like a one simple answer to how do we fix something that's broken? And I don't think there is.
Right.
It's a complex problem with a lot of issues. Right. And you can see, and I'm sure that we will see this come out over the next year. Of all of the failures of different departments or different management, and they go, well, this was a problem. This was a problem. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of blame to share. But my hunch is that there's not going to ever be one where you go, if this one thing had been fixed, this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
There's so much at play. I do think though that we will learn lessons from it.
Yeah.
And I think that there will be things that come from this that will be good for the future of the insurance industry. That will be good for the future of individuals.
Right.
Because if if we can have a strong, robust insurance companies that are providing safety and security for people. I say this all the time. Insurance is what allows us to have a first world nation because otherwise one major event in your life would bankrupt you and everything you've worked for your entire life, one bad accident, one house fire, something like that can totally destroy you financially.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never thought about it in that way.
Right. If you didn't carry insurance and then using car insurance as an example, right? Like you don't carry car insurance and you're like, well, I'm working for myself and you got your money saved up and you got your house paid off and you got money saved for retirement. And, you know, you've been safe and careful every day of your life. And you do that for 50, 60 years. And one day on your way to work, you slide on black ice and T-boned a neurosurgeon on his way to work and paralyzed him. And now you lose everything that you've ever worked for.
Yeah. Yeah, it would reset you.
Yeah. Now you're 60 years old and you're back to the same spot you were when you were 20.
Yeah.
You know, or you paid your house off.
If your parents are alive still, you're moving with them.
Yeah, right? It's like, hey, you still got my old bedroom?
Yeah, that is interesting.
So insurance is important. It's super important for preserving our way of life, for us to be able to build and grow and not hit reset every time something bad happens.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of positive that will come out of this in that aspect, where insurance companies learn more modeling systems and better rating systems, better mitigation, building code changes. I think management of the natural resources are going to be looked at very closely to say, how do we manage that so we don't burn down a whole city again?
Right.
So,
yeah, that's good. It's a good way to look at it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me. We're going to do our after show here. Maybe we could talk more about conspiracy theories if you want. I wanted to say thank you to our audience. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Come back and check out our after show. Take a little more of a personal deep dive into things, insurance and reinsurance and conspiracy theory related. So yes. If you have questions, feel free to email me at theagentinsider@gmail.com. Until next time, thank you so much and have a great day.